Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Misawa Sermon Podcast. NCM is a multicultural church serving the English-speaking community in Misawa. For more information or to contact us, visit us online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.
So, empowered. That's where we're at in our series. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve the Father, to serve the Lord. If you look at Jesus's life, Jesus, obviously, he was empowered. He walked with power. He walked with authority during his time here on earth. And following his resurrection, he ascended back into heaven. But before he ascended into heaven, he gave a command. The command that we see here, that we saw in Matthew 28, but Luke writes it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it's connected with a command that we need to hear, and we have been hearing throughout this series. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." His command to the early church was to share the gospel, to go and tell everyone who he was, how they could be saved, how they can come to know the Father. And he said, but not only that, I need you to go and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, because you will need the Holy Spirit to accomplish what I've called you to do. See, the culture that they faced in that day demanded them be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no way they could stand in the face of the culture, stand in the face of persecution and all the things that they experienced without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live for them, to live for the Father, and to share the gospel. And the thing is that the command isn't different for us just because we're in 2021. This is 2021, right? It's all a blur. It's not different for us as we sit in 2021. The Father still says, go and share the gospel. Go and tell everyone who I am. Teach them to follow after me. Teach them to serve me. But also, go and be baptized with the Holy Spirit so that you will be empowered to do what I've called you to do. And so we need, if we want to navigate the culture, if we want to live for Jesus victoriously, if we want to be able to share the gospel, we need the help of the Holy Spirit filling us and empowering us. It's a necessity for our lives. We desperately need to know the word of God for ourselves. We desperately, please don't ever rely on Sunday mornings to get you where you need to be. Please don't ever rely on Wednesday nights or Mondays if you come to the Bible studies. Please don't let that be the only time you seek the Word of God. We need the Word of God for ourselves every single day. We desperately need the Word of God. We desperately need to be spending time in prayer on our own and then spending time as a group in prayer. That's why we pray on Wednesdays. It's not so that we can fill some time. Not so that, you know, we can just have it on the schedule. It's because Scripture calls us and commands us to not only seek the Father on our own, but corporately. There is power when we come together and we seek the Father. We pray for needs. Something different happens. We desperately need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives to equip us, because the Holy Spirit empowers us. As we've been looking week by week at how the Holy Spirit empowers us, he empowers us to boldness. He empowers us to discipleship, to healing, to speak, to endure, to deliver. And he wants to empower us to hear, not listen, to hear. Right? He wants to empower us to hear what he's saying and then to act on that. We all want to hear God speak to us. I mean, is there anyone here who doesn't want God to speak to them? Yeah, I didn't think there would be any hands, right? Because we all want to hear God speak. We all want to hear him talk to us and to guide us and to lead us. But what does that mean? What does the empowerment to hear look like? What does it look like when we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us? We're going to look at a couple of examples in the book of Acts. And I say a couple of examples because it's chocked full of examples of how the Holy Spirit spoke to the early church and the early church responded. And so we're going to look at a couple of examples this morning. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 16, if you have your Bible. If not, we'll have it on the screen. Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at verses 6 through 10. Acts 16, 6 through 10. Scripture says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Thank you, Father, for your word. And Holy Spirit, we just say what we've been saying all morning. Speak to us how we need you, how we need you to hear your voice and learn how to follow after you and to be obedient to you, Father. Speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, we often read the Bible. Jerry, would you mind putting that picture of the map up there? We often read the Bible, and because the cities are so different from today, because many times we've never been to the areas or even the names of the cities have changed since that time, we'll read through passages and we'll see big, huge, weird names of cities, and we're like, oh, that's great. And we just keep on going, right? But if we want to truly get a full picture of what was happening during that time, whether it's in Acts or 1 Kings, where we're at for our Elijah Bible study, or wherever it is, it's really good to dig deeper. Look at maps from that time. There's so many good resources online that you don't even have to pay for. Look at it so you can get a full understanding of what was happening in that time. Because we could read this and we're like, well, that's great. They were going to go to this weird city and they were going to go to this weird area, but the Spirit said no. And so, okay, that's good. But if we look at it, so this was the second missionary journey for Paul. On this one, he had Silas with him. And we also see that Timothy joins in with him. Timothy was a young minister who Paul really poured into and who later became a pastor. And we also see at this point in this verse that Luke goes from, because Luke is the author of Acts, Luke goes from a third person talking about he, she, them, they, to a we. So Luke has now joined the team as they're ministering on this second missionary journey. And so they set off and they start making their way. And what we've just read says that as they were going through Pisidia, right, Phrygia, they were going through this area, Galatia. They started going this way. So what is this way? West would be Ephesus. Ephesus, as we have talked about, Ephesus was a major city. It was a major hub. It was logical for them to keep going this way to make them make their way over to Ephesus. But somehow, the Holy Spirit prevented them from going that way. So they're like, well, if we can't go west, we'll go north. So they start going north. And there's Bithynia and Pontus. And so the logical method would just to be keep going north, right? Why do we have to change directions? Well, as they get this way, the Spirit then says, whatever, however he spoke to them, he prevented them from going on up to Bithynia. And so they started making their way over to Troas. Here's Troas. And this is where Paul had the vision of the man from Macedonia. And it was at that point that they sailed across and went over into Macedonia to Philippi. Philippi is where Lydia becomes saved. Philippi is where they also end up in prison and in jail. And so we see how, if you don't look at this, you miss how God was speaking to them. You miss how the logical thing would be to go in these different directions. But where the Spirit of God was leading them was different. And so as they begin to travel and make their ways around, it says that the Spirit prevented them from going. Now, how does the Spirit prevent? Was there like this blockade? How is it that the Spirit of God spoke to them? Did he put a door and stand it in front of them? Did he cause the wheel off of something to fall off? Did he cause them, you know, what happened? That doesn't seem to be how the Spirit of God speaks, because Scripture talks about it. And so then how did the Spirit of God speak to them? Well, Luke doesn't give us all the specifics of how this all played out, but he does say that the Spirit of God prevented them and spoke to them and told them which way they needed to go. So we can look to Scripture to see how he speaks. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit speaks is speaking to us personally. He will speak to us personally, not in an audible voice. You may go your entire life and never hear the audible voice of the Lord. We will most likely go our entire lives and never hear the audible voice of the Lord. But the Holy Spirit will speak to us deep on the inside. He will speak to us and talk to us that way. And so out of that, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, often it is opposite to what would be natural to us in the human sense, right? So as we're, even as we're looking at this, what was the obvious natural way for them to go? This way, Ephesus. God, Ephesus is a big city. It's a huge city. We can impact there. We should go there. And the Spirit was like, no, I don't want you to go there. It was against the obvious. Even in going up north, God, we can go up to Bithynia. We can share the gospel there. Sharing the gospel was not bad. What they were wanting to do was not bad. It wasn't a sin. They weren't being disobedient. But the Lord said, not now. That's not where I want you to go right now. And so the Holy Spirit will speak to us personally, on the inside. I don't know how else to explain it other than the Lord speaks to us on the inside. But you know, you've heard me say this before, but I want to say it again just to make sure it's very, very clear. The Holy Spirit will never, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, ever contradict what's in the Word of God. He will never contradict himself because the Holy Spirit, this Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the Father. He will never contradict himself. So if you are sensing that you are supposed to do something and it's contrary to the Word of God, then you need to slow your roll and check it. You need to ask yourself, well, if it's contrary to the Word of God, then I definitely don't need to do it. So let me spend some more time in prayer. The Word, the Holy Spirit will never call you to do something that's not aligning with the Word of God. He will never contradict himself. That's why it's so important, guys. I know you've never heard me say this. That's why it's so important to get into this Word for yourself. Because if you don't know it for yourself, if you're not reading the Word for yourself, you'll never know if what you're thinking contradicts the Word of God. And so it's important for us to get into the Word of God and spend time in prayer. Because you remember, if we talked about, if you were here, Paul and Silas, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to endure. As they sat in the prison, being beaten in pain, being in these shackles in a dark, dank, musty, horrible prison cell, it was in that place that they began to praise and they began to worship. But they didn't learn how to endure in that prison cell. It all began in their own private time. Worshiping the Lord, spending time in prayer, seeking after the Father. And it's the same way for hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. You will not hear the voice of the Holy Spirit if you first don't get into His Word and learn how He speaks. You will not hear the voice of the Holy Spirit if you don't devote time individually of learning to not only talk to the Father, but it's important for us to shut the trap sometimes and allow Him to speak. Sometimes we can have so many words flying out that Jesus is like, listen, I can't get a word in edgewise because we just talk a lot. We like to talk. And when we're praying, we just get on a roll. We have to learn how to slow down and spend time in prayer, spend time seeking His Word. And it's outside of those times we begin to practice hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and acting upon that. Paul also said, if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are other ways that the Holy Spirit can speak to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, as he wrote to the church in Corinth, he was guiding them. This is how the Holy Spirit will operate. These are some of the ways that the Holy Spirit will operate. And he said, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message, of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And so the Holy Spirit in a group setting just like this can speak through words of wisdom, can speak through words of knowledge, can speak prophetically, can speak through tongues and interpretation. It's supposed to all work together for, what does Scripture say? For the common good. It's meant to encourage and build up. It's meant to confirm what people are already hearing from the voice of the Father, hearing through the Word of God. And so it's meant to encourage. So the Holy Spirit will speak not only only personally on the inside, but he can speak in settings just like this. And I love being able to see that happen, being in services. I know often in this setting, because maybe just the Holy Spirit is new, and there's a little bit of fear of what will this look like? And I don't know, it's kind of weird. I know that that thought may be out there, right? And so we don't often see it as much. Maybe we're not as free in allowing the Holy Spirit to use us. But if you've ever been in a service where the Spirit of God was speaking, where the Holy Spirit was speaking through tongues and interpretation or through prophecy, through words of knowledge, you can sense the presence of God and you can sense how God is working. And so all of that works together in how the Holy Spirit longs to speak to us. And so while we don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit spoke and prevented them from going the direction they originally desired to go, whatever method he decided to use, whether personally speaking, whether it was through prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongues and interpretation, whatever it was, they listened and they obeyed. They listened and they obeyed. But it's weird, if you look at this, why we may think, well, why in the world did the Spirit of God, why didn't the Holy Spirit just say, listen, guys, you can just skip all that going around in circles over there. I just need you to go to Macedonia. Just go to Macedonia. Why didn't the Holy Spirit speak that to them at that time? Why is it that the Holy Spirit took them all this roundabout way to get them to Troas so that Paul could hear a vision so they would then go to Macedonia? You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit wants us to learn how to trust him when we don't see the full picture, because we like the full picture. If you don't, then bless you, because you may be one of the only people who don't like the full picture. We all like to have the full picture. We all want to know our life mapped out, how everything is going to go, all the speed bumps, all the roads, all the things in between. And that's how we want it. We want it neatly packaged up. And can you just give it to me that way, Jesus? But that's not how it works either, because trust is never built if we're never given an opportunity to trust him. And so the Holy Spirit sometimes gives it to us bit by bit to build a trust in him, to build up this confidence that I heard God and I'm responding and I'm doing what I'm called to do. Sometimes it's that the Holy Spirit wants us to minister to people along the way. If they had gone straight to Macedonia, they would have missed all those stops in between where the Spirit of God was building up a church through Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. Sometimes it's that God is speaking to other people and teaching them how to hear his voice. And as we're obedient, it gives them an opportunity to respond to his voice. You know, for us, and really, Miriam had told me about the video, but I didn't really watch it. Obviously, we can't listen to it, right? I didn't really watch it. I know Mike and Polly, I know their story, but it's so fitting, even in what she said there, hearing the voice of God and responding. And so often people ask us, you know, how in the world did you end up in military ministry? How did you end up in Japan? And really, it was a lot like Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. It was bit by bit. I think had the Lord given me that neat package with all the stuff, I've been like, you crazy. I'm going to stay here in the States where I got Walmart. That's where I'm going to be, and Chick-fil-A. I know. See, people are shaking their heads like, thank you, Jesus. But that's not how it works. The Lord gave us bit by bit so we would be willing to trust him and step out in faith. You know, we were in the midst of a transition. We were in the midst of transition in ministry and had no clue where the Lord wanted us to be. And let me just give you a word of wisdom, a word of advice. If you don't know where to go or what to do, don't do. Pray and wait. Maybe it's you need to wait. Maybe it's that you need to be held up in this holding pattern so that you at the right time will hear the voice of the Father. And so that's what we did. We committed ourselves to praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. And it was during that time that the Lord began speaking to me missions. And, you know, when I heard missions originally, I had this whole different idea, because when I was in college, I just had a heart for missions. I loved missions. I prayed for the lost. I went on missions trips every year, at least once or twice. And I was constantly, my heart was geared towards missions, but it was towards Bosnia. I mean, I had a flag of Bosnia. I was learning Serbian. I mean, my heart was there, right? I just knew I was going to be called one day. God was going to send me to Bosnia to be a missionary. What I didn't know is that the Lord wasn't calling me to go to Bosnia. He was calling me to pray for Bosnia. You know, sometimes the Lord places passions and desires in our heart, not necessarily for us. Sometimes it's so we'll pray. Sometimes we have ideas and it's not necessarily for us. Maybe it's to pray over. Maybe it's that it's not for right now, but for later. And so we have to learn how to hold that in and pray until the right time. And so I really thought that I was going to go to Bosnia, but it was really the Lord wanting me to pray. Pray that God would raise up missionaries. Pray that God would bring the Bosnian to Jesus. And it was later that I learned that a couple responded to the call to missions, and they became the first Assemblies of God missionaries in Bosnia. And they received the call in that time that I was praying. Now, was it because of me? No, I know the Holy Spirit was speaking to other people to pray. But man, what an amazing thing that I got to be a part of that and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and responding, even if it was in the intention that I was going to go, God was raising up people to go. And so when the Lord called us to missions and spoke that to me, I had no clue what it was going to look like. It was a few weeks later that the Lord confirmed it to Wilman. It was 3 days later. Now, mind you, at this time, Trinity was 5 years old. And so I say this with kids sitting in our sanctuary because I want you to know that you can hear the voice of the Father too, that God can speak to you. He can call you. He can transform your life. He can guide you even at a young age. This is not a pastor thing. This is not a missionary thing. This is how God wants to speak to us. And so Trinity at 5 years old, 3 days after God confirmed the call to Wilman in my life, we hadn't talked about it. We didn't know what it was going to look like. So we weren't going to blab our mouths to our kids and then go run off and tell everybody. And so 3 days later, Trinity came down. We were at our house, or I was there. Wilman was at work. And she came down and she said, "You know, Mommy, God told me that we needed to pack up everything we own and move to another country." And I just sat there looking at like, what? Like, what? Sometimes my brain slows down. A lot of times it does. And I just sat there going, what? And it took a little bit for it to sink in. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit was speaking to us individually because we would need to fall back on that when times get hard, when family members pass away and we're far away, when things are difficult at the church, when COVID hits, when whatever it is, we needed to have that calling deep in our hearts so that we would fall back on it and know that God put us here and drew us here and brought us here. He was confirming that. See, this is not, this is not an advertisement for us, but I want you to hear this. This is not a career for us. This is not a job for us. This is a calling from the Lord. And there's nowhere else I'd rather be. Wow, cue the tears. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. God has sent us here to lead you, to pour into your life, to do whatever we can to pray over you, to weep with you, whatever it may be. God has sent us here not as a job. There's no benefits in this in the world standards. We're actually losing in the world standards, but we are gaining spiritually because we're being obedient to the Father. So we are here for you guys. Don't ever think that we're too busy for you. Don't ever think that we've got so much that you don't want to add it to our plate. We are here. God called us here for a purpose. It's to come alongside you. And so in that, the Lord was speaking to us and calling us and drawing us, but we didn't know where in the world we were going to go. Military ministries, had no clue about it. It wasn't a blip on my radar. Wasn't even like, I had never heard of it. Bosnia was all I had ever heard of, right? In fact, I didn't want to go to Asia at all. I didn't want to go to an island at all. In fact, I told the Lord, I don't want to go to Asia, God. I had a friend that felt called to China. I was like, no, sucks to be you. I'm not going to Asia. I'm going to Bosnia. Right? Just being honest. And so when the Lord spoke that, we began looking. The Lord in the mission service that we were sitting in just so happened that a military pastor, one of the pastors that we support, they're in Germany. They were there in the service that day. And he was speaking, and I was up in the front, and Wilman was back in the sound booth. You know, that's not a new thing for him. And so he was back in the sound booth. We were separate, and the Lord was speaking to us separately. And I remember looking up and looking at Matt, and the Lord said, "That's what I want you to do. I want you to do military ministry." I'm like, oh, well, what in the world does that mean? And so Matt and Stacy were our one connection to military ministry, so we thought, well, that's got to be a good place to go. Let's go to Germany. And the more that we began pursuing it and praying, the less we felt an ease about it. We didn't sense that was what the Holy Spirit was speaking, not because of Matt and Stacy and not because of Germany, but because it wasn't the part we needed to go. We didn't need to go to Ephesus. Germany's a great place. We didn't need to go there. God was calling us elsewhere. So we contacted a friend that's a missionary in Thailand who contacted her regional director. I know it's all the details because that's just how I tell stories. And so she contacted the regional director who contacted the pastor in Okinawa, who's a pastor of the military church. And I know Okinawa, I know. And so he put us in contact with Pastor West there, and we began talking to him. He's like, well, why don't you come over here as missionary associates? And you can learn the ropes, because our intention, if we couldn't go to Germany, we were going to go to Korea, because that was our other connection. Wilman served there, Camp House. And so he knew it. He had a heart for it. Korea. No. And so the Lord took us to Okinawa, to a tiny island in Asia. And so I remember the Lord, you know, we got there and we started learning and we're like, Korea, 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 right?
Misawa,
right? And so it was in that time that we realized that what the Lord used to bring us to Japan wasn't what he was going to use to keep us in Japan. A missionary, Dick Brogdon, he serves in the Middle East. He told that once to us in a missionary training. He's like, listen, what God uses to bring you somewhere may not be where God uses to keep you somewhere. And so God used us wanting to be in Korea to get us to Okinawa so he could infuse a heart for Japan. Oh my goodness, I love Japan. And I know as you people, you guys get ready to leave. Even if you say, I'm not going to miss Japan. Oh, you will. You're going to miss it a whole bunch. Even the 154,000 inches of snow, you will miss it because it just gets into your heart. And so that's how the Lord, that's the steps bit by bit. Had the Lord told me Misawa, Japan in the beginning, I'd be like, nope, Baytown, Texas, that's where I'm called, right? Because I wasn't ready to hear that. He needed to infuse that trust into my heart. I needed to learn to hear him bit by bit, even when I didn't know the full plan, even when I had no clue where Misawa was. I mean, how many got orders here and you're like, I don't know where it is. I have to find it, right? And so I had no clue where Misawa was, but he'll take us bit by bit when we're committed to listening and hearing his voice. And I'm sure you're sitting there going, well, that's great for you because you're the pastor and you're missionary and you need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. No. See, it's not just a pastor thing. I know I just said that a little while ago. It's not a pastor thing. It's not a missionary thing. It's not a leader thing. It is you being alive and having Jesus living in within you, and he desires to fill you with the Holy Spirit and empower you so that you can hear, so that you can respond, so that you can be obedient where he's called you to be. Because here's the thing, is that it all comes down to, why are we empowered? Why does he empower us to heal or empower us to listen, to hear? Why does he empower us to deliver? Why does he empower us to boldness? What is the ultimate goal? For us to share the gospel. Well, this is not, sharing the gospel is not a pastor thing. It's not a missionary thing. It's not a leader thing. It's an every single one of believer thing. And because of that, we need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit so that we can share the gospel in a way that other people will hear. I love the story of Philip. Philip is another person in Acts that we see. See, Philip wasn't a pastor. He wasn't even one of the 12 disciples. He wasn't an apostle. He didn't receive a vision on the road to Damascus. In fact, Philip's job was to wait on tables and make sure the widows were okay. His job was to do that so that the disciples could teach and preach and train. His job was to wait on tables and make sure the widows. We could look on that and that was just waiting on tables. It was just taking care of the widows. But really, when we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives, there's no just anything. It's never just cleaning. It's never just worshiping. It's never just teaching kids. It's never just being with them. Guys, your youth who are serving in the kids, it's never just spending time and keeping them entertained. Because when the Holy Spirit is a part of it, every single moment is an opportunity to share the gospel. Every single moment is an opportunity to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and respond and speak on the Father's behalf. Every single opportunity is infused with that. And we see the story of Philip in Acts chapter 8. We're going to read verses 26 through 31, and then we're going to read 34 and 35. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch." You notice, God didn't give him the full description of what he needed. "So go out to the road, and that's what I have for you." So he went out. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandaki, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. We're going to drop down to verse 34 and 35. It says, "The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And that man received Jesus in that moment. He was water baptized. They found a water place along the road. They got off. They baptized him water. And this eunuch went back and took the gospel back to Ethiopia, where we can even see traces today of the gospel because Philip responded to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a leader. He wasn't a missionary. He was a guy who was serving tables and making sure the widows were taken care of. And out of that, he decided, I'm going to commit myself to seeking after the Father. I'm going to commit myself to seeking the Word and spending time in prayer. I'm going to commit myself to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to respond even if I don't know all the details, even if it makes no sense. I'm going to respond, and I'm going to allow God to use me." We need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We need the voice of the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us so that we can share the gospel with others, so that we can be like Philip, so that we can be like Paul and Silas and Timothy, who took the gospel, who responded to the Holy Spirit, took the gospel to Macedonia and saw the church planted in that place, disciples raised up, workers raised up. Jesus became known. It's all about the command to share the gospel and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in and through us. In closing, Susan, if you wouldn't mind the worship team coming. I want to share an excerpt and an encouragement from Jeff. He's our regional director. There's regions within the Assemblies of God for missions. And he wrote this devotional called Empowered. And I wanted to share this bit with you. And he said, "I realize that the book of Acts is focused on mission, and we often focus on our personal life. I have interacted with believers who only hear from the Lord when they're making a big purchase, or possibly when there's a good deal on the very item they needed in their favorite superstore. I've heard people say, 'He led me to the house we were to buy,' or 'He led me to purchase the right car.' God does help us in every part of our lives. Yet primarily, we are empowered to hear to accomplish God's mission. I wonder what would happen if we prayed, 'Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can hear from you and accomplish your mission.' Yes, the Lord cares about our personal and daily lives, and you may hear from the Lord about a move or a purchase, but it won't always be an upgrade to a bigger, more luxurious place. It might be a move to a place where your neighbors need to hear about the Lord. Maybe when he tells us to sell something or buy something and we get a good price, it's so we can give more. We are empowered to hear in order to accomplish great things for the Lord." See, guys, the Holy Spirit longs to baptize you. He longs to empower you. He longs to speak to you, but it takes a willingness on our part. It takes a willingness. Do you desire, and that's my question to you this morning, do you desire to be able to confidently pray, and not just pray it, but to say it, that challenge that Jeff gave to pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can hear from you and accomplish your mission. Is that a desire in your heart this morning? Do you long to hear from the Holy Spirit so that you can accomplish the mission to share the gospel with any and everyone God brings you?
Thank you for listening to the Neighborhood Misawa's Sermon Podcast. If you need prayer, email us at neighborhoodmisawa@gmail.com or online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.